low come
residential place.
Pradarshaya,
please show.
Suritama,
O
best of friends.
Tavakam,
your.
May,
unto me.
Yathratjaha,
a person born wherein.
Itam,
like this.
Urasa,
by the chest.
Avayavau,
two limbs, breasts.
Apurvau,
wonderful.
Asmat
vidasya,
of a person like me.
Mana unnayanau,
very agitating to the mind.
Vibharti,
sustains.
Bahu,
many.
Adbhutam,
wonderful.
Sadasa,
sweet words.
Rasa,
amorous gestures like smiling.
Sudha
adi,
such as nectar.
Vaktre,
in the mouth.
So these are romantic words.
So you brahmacharis don't listen to this.
Translation.
O best friend,
will you kindly show me the place where you reside?
I cannot imagine how the residents of that place have gotten such wonderful bodily features as your raised breasts, which agitate the mind and eyes of a person like me who sees them.
Judging by the sweet speech and the kind smiles of those residents,
I think that their mouths must contain nectar.
Okay. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki
Jai.
Still bewildered, Agnidra wanted to see the place from which the Brahmana boy had come, where the man had such raised breasts. Such attractive features, he thought, must be due to the severe austerities performed there. Agnidra addressed the girl as Suritama, the best friend, so that she would not refuse to take him there. Not only was Agnidra captivated by the girl's raised breasts, he was also attracted by her sweet speech. Nectar seemed to emanate from her mouth, and therefore he was increasingly surprised.
Whew.
Poor boy. So, Itam pradashaya
suritamatavakame
tatrachahita murasavayavavapurvau
asmat
virasya mana unnayanau
bibharti
bhavad bhutam
sarasa rasa
sudhari
voktre.
So,
Om
Agana Chimidanda
Shah Gananjana
Shalakaya
Chakshuram
Militam
Yena
Tasmai
Shri
Gurave
Namaha.
So,
this is a love
story.
Purvachiti,
the apsara,
is very much
appreciating these
words,
these sweet
words that
Agnidra
is actually
giving to her.
Now,
we have to
understand that
Agnidra's
desire
or his
bewilderment
didn't
start with
his attraction
for women.
If we refer
to this particular
chapter in the
Srimad
Bhagavatam,
we see that
actually Agnidra's
desire
started with
his father's
desire.
His father's
name was
Priyavrata.
And
Priyavrata is a
great devotee of the
Supreme Personality
of Godhead.
However,
Srila Prabhupada
comments,
referring to
one of the acharyas in
his purports,
that
Priyavrata when there was the time for the Garbhadana Samskara. Garbhadana Samskara means the seed-giving ceremony. It's one of the many samskaras in the Vedic tradition. Samskara means reformatory performance. That means you get a chance to dedicate yourself or this particular activity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and purify it. So anyway, during the Garbhadana Samskara, Priyavrata, who happened to be a great pure devotee of the Lord, experienced some lust. And because he experienced lust, he got a child who was not free from material desires. And even if one does the planning to the best of their ability, sometimes devotees even get demon children. And sometimes demons even get devotee children. Of course, this probably most of us here were not born from Vaishnav mothers and fathers. In any case, I'm not saying your parents were demons. Please don't take this out of context. So, I mean, even Advaita Acharya, he had six sons, and three of his sons, I don't want to say they were demons, but he rejected them because they took up an improper philosophy. And Advaita Acharya is God. And even Krishna himself, as Lord Varaha, had a son that later on he had to kill because he became a demon. And that was the case with Bhomasura. Bhomasura was actually the son of Krishna and Bhumi. When the Varaha avatar touched Bhumi with his tusks, of course, the Lord Angani, Asha, Shakalan, Driyadritimanti, he can do anything with any part of his body. So he impregnated the earth planet, and out came a little baby Bhoma. But Bhoma decided to have some really bad association. See, that's the key, association. And because of that association, as Bhagavad Gita says, karnam guna sangasya sadasad janma jonishu. That by association with the modes of nature, that means a person in a particular mode, or music in a different mode, or food in a different mode, we were talking about this last night, or anything in different modes of nature, you actually absorb those modes of nature, and Bhoma became Bhomasura, and he became so demoniac that he was kidnapping all these princesses. Can you imagine that? And of course, that was to help his father later on, so that Krishna could marry 16,108 more girls. So in other words, he was indirectly doing service. And Bhoma's mother, Bhumi, she did not want her husband, Krishna, to kill her son. So Krishna promised not to kill her son unless he got her permission. And Krishna was so tricky, Krishna's the most tricky, that he got her permission when she appeared as Satyabhama. And Satyabhama said, kill him. And Krishna said, thank you for giving me permission. So anyway, so even, you know, people who have the best consciousness, and I don't think Krishna has any bad consciousness. He's obviously Krishna conscious all the time. Isn't it? I mean, he's Krishna conscious, he's Krishna. And everything is Krishna, so he's conscious of Krishna. So even he had some, as Advaita Acharya and whatever. But so what to speak of someone who slips for a few minutes and has a little bad consciousness, and then you get a son like Agnidra. And Agnidra wasn't bad. I mean, it's not that he was a demon or anything. He was a devotee. But he had this desire. And it's interesting when you have a desire. Of course, his desire was to go to the heavenly planets, a place called Pitriloka. Pitriloka is like on this earth planet, Hawaii. Like Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. So all of, I'm inviting all of you. Fiji's also like that too, so you can all come and help me. We already took Kargamuni there. And so so Pitriloka is like a vacation spot when your parents die. Not your parents, but in the Vedic system. And the children, they do this thing called pinda. And the Pindit is basically paying your bills in the hotel in Pitriloka. You know, that's metaphorically, it's true. In other words, if you're going to stay in Pitriloka, you got to have good karma. And so the reason for having a son in the traditional Vedic system, the Vedic system that's karma kanja, is so that he can do this pinda and keep paying your bills. And then you enjoy in Pitriloka, and of course your son dies, and he has a son and he pays your bills, and he has a son and he pays your bills, and he has a son and he pays your bills. So great, great, great grandson. And finally, you know, I guess it ends somehow with your dynasty. And then no one pays your bills, and the Chine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti, you get kicked out of Pitriloka. So it's important to have a son. Actually, there's an interesting story in the Mahabharata about this person named Jatakarna. And he decided not to get married and not to have a son, obviously. It's not like nowadays in the modern world you can have children without being married. Actually, most of the people now in the so-called first world countries have children without being married. They decide to get married after 50 years of staying together. So, but in this particular case, he wanted to remain brahmachari. This is not to discourage you brahmacharis. But he wanted to remain brahmachari, and he was happy as could be, you know, because he had no responsibilities. Free again, you know, whatever. So he was wandering around chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, I'm so happy. And then he runs into these people who are hanging over a hole in the ground, and they're hanging upside down, and they, with a rope is holding their legs. They're hanging upside down. There's a rat eating the rope, and they're getting ready to fall into the hole in the ground. And he says to them, wait, why are you like this? You know, why are you in this situation? And they explain, because our ancestor, our descendant has not done the pinda, is not doing the pinda. He's decided not to get married. And Jatakarna says, what is his name? I'll talk to him about it. And these people hanging upside down said, his name is Jatakarna. And Jatakarna said, uh-oh, Hare Krishna, I shouldn't have asked the question. And so, anyway, so he says, all right, I'll agree to get married only if I can find someone with the same name and someone who doesn't talk back to me. And finally, according to the Mahabharata, he did find a girl with the same name. And they had a kid. Of course, she eventually talked back to him, and he left her. Anyway. Interesting story in the beginning. It's in the first part of the Mahabharata, this story, the whole Mahabharata, not the Mahabharata that you have in ISKCON. So anyway, so it's important in the Karmakanja system to have a son. The son is called Putra. Putra means someone who saves you from hell. Put means hell, tra means to liberate. Like we have mantra, that means to liberate the mind or free the mind. So Putra. So this, because Priyavrata, when he had this Garbhadhan Sanskara, had some material desire, therefore his son had a material desire, and it wasn't for a woman at this particular point. His desire was to go to Pitriloka so he could enjoy. And then, therefore he was thinking, I got to have a son in order to do that. And of course, in order to have a son, he had to have a wife. That's generally the procedure. So he was doing austerities to get the proper wife. And because he had this desire, Lord Brahma actually arranged for his wife. It was interesting. It's better than having the temple president arrange for your wife. Have Lord Brahma arrange for his wife, because he knows compatibilities better than anyone else. So Lord Brahma called for one of the girls, Parvachiti, to come down. So the point I'm making is that desire. When we have a desire, then there's some reciprocation, not necessarily on the part of Lord Brahma, but the reciprocation on the part of the Supersoul. And the Supersoul gives us intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to our desire. Like if you desire to forget God, then Super Soul will help you forget God. And if you desire to enjoy the material world, Super Soul will give you intelligence to enjoy the material world. Of course, it is dependent on your karma. A few years ago, there was a popular book and a movie based on the book. It was called The Secret. Anyone's heard about that before? Some of you may have heard. That whatever you desire, you'll get if you desire it enough. And that's half true. Half true. And they showed in this movie, I didn't read the book. Somehow or other, it was a part of the movie. They showed in the movie someone was meditating on getting a sports car. And he got the sports car. You know, he was sitting in his seat like this. You know, a bigger seat. And he was shifting the gears on his sports car in the seat. You know, just like that. And then he got a sports car. And there was another boy who wanted a bicycle. You know, I wish it worked like that. Because then I could just meditate on anything and get it, you know. A new temple. Okay, new temple. And then come back and there's a new temple here. You know, big temple, Vedic temple. We didn't need to collect the money. Nothing. So it doesn't really work like that. I mean, for a devotee, of course, it depends on Krishna. But for a non-devotee, how the desire is fulfilled depends on your karma. So there's two things that determine what you're going to come in contact with, your desire and your karma. And those things determine your next birth, too, your desire and your karma. So, for example, if you desire to enjoy a nice romantic relationship and you don't have good karma, then, as Prabhupada said, you get to be a pigeon. And a pigeon is extremely romantic. Prabhupada said he can have 50 or 100 encounters a day. Pretty nice, isn't it? That's better than your best love story or James Bond movie or whatever movie you see. So, anyway, so those two things work together. So, Agnidra, he was desiring to go basically to the heavenly planets, and then his desire was fulfilled by the actions of the material energy, of course, Lord Brahma acting on behalf of the material energy. He was pious, he had good karma, so he got a heavenly society girl. And, you know, if you don't have good karma, you get like an Aborigine girl. Anyway, so it depends on your karma and your desire. So this is one topic. Another topic is we find so many places in the Bhagavatam, there's dealings about and descriptions about romantic affairs and how they bewilder people. And so you just wonder, you know, what is Bhagavatam, a love story? But Bhagavatam, each and every one of these stories, teaches us something for ourselves. You know, it's practical, application. I mean, another story that teaches pretty much the same thing, how a person got bewildered, is the story of Mohini Murti. Mohini Murti, of course, is an incarnation of Krishna. And when Krishna becomes a lady, that's the ultimate bewildering factor. So, in the case of Mohini Murti, you had the demons and the demigods, you know, they were churning the ocean of milk. And eventually this Amrit, nectar of immortality, comes out. And so, this nectar of immortality, I'm taking this as representing Krishna consciousness, you know, because that's really how you become immortal. You can't become immortal just by taking some heavenly society drink, a heavenly drink like Amrita. You get a long life. So the demons, they were cheated out. Of course, they cheated the demigods by stealing the nectar originally. But they were cheated out of the nectar by Mohini Murti. In other words, by the desire to enjoy this material world, we're cheated out of the nectar. The nectar is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he praised, what, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmani shure, bhavatad bhakti ahoy tiki chwaye. That I don't want, you know, wealth, followers, you know, beautiful ladies, whatever it is. I only want your causeless devotional service, life after life. So because all these things are connected. As I was mentioning in the story of Agnidra, he didn't want a lady in the beginning, but it was connected because he wanted opulent life. So it all comes in a package. Like if you have money, you get bewildered and everything else comes along with it. Like the story of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. They had a lot of money because their father was Kuvera. Pretty good father. He was the treasurer of all the demigods, and the demigods have a lot of money. And I guess he gets to keep some of it for himself and spend it on his kids. So the commentators on that particular part of the Bhagavatam state that this money, having money, bewilders one. Queen Kunti also comments on all these bewildering factors in her famous prayers. Janma Aishwarya Shrutashu Shibir Enaman Na Adapuman. She says, these things bewilder one. Even the so-called good birth, in other words, being born in an aristocratic family, being proud of one's aristocratic birth. Of course, none of us have that problem. I don't think, is there anyone here who was born in India in a high-class family? No, not yet. Not here. So we don't have that problem. We don't have to talk about that. Aishwarya, opulence. So when you have money, sometimes we've seen devotees who inherit money. All of a sudden they're a nice brahmachari in the temple and somehow or other they get a notice from their parents who just passed away. You've just inherited 10 million euros. And goodbye, brahmachari. That's the last you see the brahmachari. Because this money bewilders one. Like Nala Kuvera Mani Griva. Aishwarya, Shrutasya. Or one becomes very learned. In other words, we've seen that even sometimes when people become expert in Sanskrit, it's like a prediction, not everyone. It's a prediction how they'll start criticizing even Prabhupada. They'll think that, you know, oh, Prabhupada didn't know Sanskrit, or Prabhupada didn't translate properly, or actually we didn't come from the spiritual world, or Srila Prabhupada. You know, there's so many things come about, so they commit offenses. And they're very proud. All these things make us prideful. And pride goes before the fall, as they say. Pride leads to all these other things. So Janmaishwarya, Shrutasya, and Shribir, beauty. Or for you men, handsomeness. So all these things, like if you're very beautiful or handsome, let's say the men are walking and all the ladies are fainting when they see you. very dangerous. That's why traditionally, it was mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not very good for a sannyasi to be handsome. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely handsome, he got very worried about him being able to keep sannyas. He said, I better train you up a little bit more. Read some Vedanta to you so that you become more fixed in your renunciation. Imagine teaching Lord Chaitanya to become renounced. So he was thinking, because Lord Chaitanya was so attractive. And he's thinking, it's not very good. I mean, even in ISKCON now, we have rules that when people take sannyas, they have to be at least 95 years old. I'm exaggerating, you know. I'm exaggerating. But, you know, that we have it, like if you're 40 years old, you get on the 5-year waiting list, and, you know, 5 years. And the 5-year waiting list can go on for 10 years. When Prabhupada was on the planet, people were on a 10-minute waiting list. But Prabhupada said this is not good. So in the beginning, he had to do so that so many people had trouble with keeping sannyas. So these are very bewildering factors, and so one has to be very careful in dealing with these things in this world, in dealing with money, in dealing with the opposite sex, in dealing with position. Like one of the causes of anarthas is the byproducts of bhakti. One gets a position, one becomes a teacher, one becomes a guru, one becomes a temple president, one becomes a GBC, you know. And then one becomes proud. So these things are all bewildering factors, and we have to be extremely careful when dealing with these factors in this world. This is caution. Prabhupada said, you Western boys and girls are not enough afraid of Maya. You know, we think, you know, I'm Krishna conscious. Nothing's going to happen to me. And eventually something does happen if you're not careful. And Prabhupada even said, when the devotees asked him, what are you praying for? Prabhupada said, I'm praying not to fall into Maya. And of course, Prabhupada was under the jurisdiction of the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. There's no question of Prabhupada falling into Mahamaya. But that was Prabhupada's humility. So this humility, abject humility, has to be cultivated by the devotees in order to be free from this illusion. Any of these types of illusion, Janmaisharya, Shrutasya Shibir, or attraction that would be mentioned in this verse. Humility. So how do we cultivate? The question is, how do we cultivate humility? It's not just by thinking of humility. Or not just by thinking less of yourself. You know, sometimes people think humility means I just say, well, I'm a rascal, I'm a demon, I'm horrible, I'm useless, I'm hopeless. Then you need to go to a psychiatrist if you keep doing that. And the psychiatrist will prescribe some nice Prozac. I don't know if you know what Prozac is. Prozac is an antidepressant. And then you take this Prozac and you feel really good about yourself. Sometimes I joke with the devotees that we should put it in the temple water or the prasadam. So, actually to become humble, the way to be humble is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka. Now first he says, be humble. Trinadapi sunichena taror api sahishuna. Sometimes it translates taror eva. Anyway, there's two different versions of that. Shikshashtaka, taror eva, taror api sahishuna. He says you have to be more tolerant than tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, etc., etc. And then he says the way to do that, he gives us the prescription. He says, amanida manadena, not expecting any respect. In other words, don't get angry if someone doesn't respect you. You know, nobody loves me. Nobody respects me. Nobody offers obeisances to me anymore. And nobody chants my name. They changed the rules in ISKCON so you can't chant the guru's name in kirtan. So, actually, there's no joy in getting respected. It just puffs one up. He who praises me is my enemy. He who criticizes me is my friend. We should think like that. Someone who corrects us or gives us instruction in a nice way, you know, confidentially, guyamakyati prichati, that's a friend. Someone who says, you know, Maharaj, you know, I think you could have done things that way. Instead, we're getting angry at them. Upadeshu himurkanam prakopayana shanti. If you're a fool, you get angry when someone gives you good instruction. That's a test of a fool. You can test a fool and you just, here's some good instruction. Ah! Don't tell him he's a fool. That's even worse. But that's the statement. If you give a fool, it's like giving a snake poison, you know, that if you give a fool good instruction, he just gets angry. So we should be very happy to take instruction, you know. So even if someone is a newer devotee and they say something, you know, Maharaj, you could have chanted like that or whatever, and you take it into consideration. It's not that you do everything everyone tells you to do. Then you become crazy. So, and then Lord Chaitanya says, amanina, and then manadena. Manadena means to offer respect to others. I mean, we find injunctions like that even if someone chants Hare Krishna once, then we offer respect in our minds. Anybody who chants Hare Krishna once. And also we offer respect. We understand when we're approaching anyone, they have super soul in the heart, they're part and parcel of Krishna. Yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanu pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatodna vigigupshate. That's from the Isupanishad. It says to understand everybody's part and parcel of Krishna, not to hate anyone. So you offer respects. You think, I'm a servant. Just like all of us have the name, Das. Even if you get to be a Swami, you get Das Goswami. Not that I'm Swami. Swami means master. Actually, traditionally, even the husband would be called Swami by his wife. The master. Those days have passed. So, now the husband's calling the wife Swamini. That's female. That's actually the name of Radharani, too. Swamini. So we don't think of ourselves as master, and then we think of ourselves as servants. Even when we're out there on preaching, Sankirtan, book distribution, we're serving the people out there. If you have that attitude, you'll be able to make so many devotees. Dasosmi, just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when his disciples offered him obeisances, he would respond by saying, Dasosmi, I'm your servant. Interesting. It's very interesting. So this means having very respectful service attitude between each other. This is the whole point that Prabhupada brings out in the Upadeshamrita, Vedati Pratigirnati Guyam Akyati Prichati Bhunkte Bhojyate Chaiva. The six loving exchanges. In other words, they're serving each other. As my god brother Bhakti Tirthamaraj was fond of saying, servant leader. You know, the leader is the servant of everyone else. And generally, we want to become leaders, so we become the boss of everyone else. So in this way, we can overcome the pushings and pullings of the material energy. And understanding our servant, that we're not the enjoyers, we're not the masters, we're the servants. And so here, Agnidra basically wants to enjoy this girl. He's not thinking love. Of course, it's love from a material perspective, which is lust. So, and the reason it's so strong in the world is because it's a perverted reflection of the love between Radha and Krishna. That's the reason why it's the strongest factor in this world. But Agnidra is not thinking, I want to just serve her, even though he may be saying that. He said, I want to enjoy her. So exploitation. I want to be the master of this. So we got to change our mentality, and then we won't succumb to Krishna's material energy like Agnidra is succumbing. So any questions or comments? We won't keep going for a long time this morning. Questions, comments, arguments? Yes. Hopefully we are choosing a higher goal. Let's be a little introspective. Right now, we come to Krishna consciousness, according to Krishna in the Gita, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam. There's four reasons we come. And these four reasons are not really higher goals at this particular point. The four reasons are, we're looking for wealth. Of course, most of us are not coming to the movement for wealth. But in India, it's like that. Sometimes people come to the movement for wealth. You've got many brahmacharis who couldn't live, and then they come to the movement, and they think if they do their service nicely, eventually they can migrate to, you know, America or Europe, or Germany. Not Slovenia. Germany. Become a refugee. Devotee refugee. Anyway, so people looking for wealth, or they're inquisitive. Hey, this looks interesting. What are all you strange people jumping up and down for with the ponytails behind your head? Or they're in distress. That's a big thing. People are in distress. That's why devotees should go out and follow some of the things the Christians do when they go and preach to people in the hospitals and places like that. Because when people are in distress, they're very, very open to spiritual life. I mean, I experienced that with my grandparents. They were never interested in spiritual life. But when they were ready to die, they started asking questions. What happens in the time of death? You know, what's it all about? What should I do? You know, never. Every time before that I tried to preach to them, they said, you know, we're not interested. You're ruining our fun. You're spoiling the movie by telling us the end. But at the end, they said, you know, what's it all about? What's it all about? And I said, this. And they said, thank you very much. It's a relief. But just like our friend Ajamil. You know, he wasn't interested in surrendering to Krishna, but, you know, he saw those nice Yamadutas coming to get him. And, of course, the Vishnudutas saved him. And he had a wake-up call. Wow. So he took up Krishna consciousness from a position of distress. You know, just like, save me! I don't want to confront those Yamadutas. They're pretty ugly. We had some parents of devotees die who refused to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death in spite of having the parents, the children, by their side. And they said, they're coming to get me. Oh, my God. And people traditionally used to die with their eyes open, scared. But now the doctors have them so heavily sedated that they don't do that anymore. So anyway, so people come because they're in distress, because they want knowledge, because they're inquisitive, or because they want wealth. There's some material reason we come to Krishna consciousness. Or, of course, wanting knowledge, that's material, but it can be transformed much easier, according to Krishna in the Gita. So we have to look in our hearts and see what is our desire, you know, why are we here? And ultimately try to transform. But by good association, that desire can be transformed. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katata Joshana Dashu Apavarga Vartmani Sura Ratira Bhaktir Anukramishati. This is Lord Kapiladeva's statement from the third canto. He said, if you associate with the devotees, includes service, satam prasangam, means have associations, like sangha, mama viri samvito, and you hear about Krishna's activities, bhavanti ritkarna, the heart will actually be affected. Because there is a channel between the ear and the heart, ritkarna. Ritkarna means heart, ear. So when you hear from devotees, you'll hear, Shushusho, Shradadanasya, Vasudeva, Kata, Ruchishan, Mahatsavya, Vipra, Punyatirtana, Shevanat. Then it affects the heart. It purifies. Like, you know, we chant that every morning. Cheto, Dharpa, Namarjanam, Bhava, Mahad, Vagni, Nirvapanam. So whatever reason you come in contact with the devotees, your heart changes. An example given from the Ramayana is Valmiki. Valmiki was a dacoit. He used to kill people. And he was scared because he was told about his karma. He was told by the Sapta Rishis, that means the seven Rishis, about his karma. And then he tried to share his karma with his wife and children. He went to them and said, can you take part of my karma? And they said, hell no. That's yours. Your business is to make your money and bring it to us. Children said that. His son said, I want a new iPod. I'm making that up, of course, but anyway. And his wife said, I want some saris. And so he got so scared that he started chanting, even though he had all these desires. He was chanting out of fear. And he couldn't even chant Ram. He was chanting Mara, Mara. And Mara, Mara becomes Mara, Mara, Ram, Ram, Ram. And so he was chanting Ram under the direction of the pure devotees, the Sapta Rishis. And his heart changed and became a great devotee. So we're partaking of this heart-changing process. We came to Krishna consciousness for some other purpose, yes. If we didn't have another purpose, we would already be pure devotees. So we had another purpose. Like I came to Krishna consciousness personally because I wanted knowledge and also liberation. So in the beginning, I tell this story many times, I was chanting Hare Krishna and praying before I went to sleep every night that Krishna would kill me and I go back to Godhead so I could get out of the material world. Every night, I would be so intent upon that, I would sleep with my bead bag attached to my hand. I'd wrap my bead bag on my hand and go, Hare Krishna, Krishna, kill me tonight. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I was crazy. The material world is so crazy, you know, anyway. And so eventually, you know, I decided that's not a good idea. It's better to serve Prabhupada. So anyway, so the desires change. That's the point. And so that's also important when we're preaching to people to understand where they're coming from, what they need, what their needs are. And then we give them nice prasadam. Prabhupada said, you know, we're a kitchen religion. We preach with prasadam. It's true. We preach with prasadam. I mean, I just remember the first pakoras I ate in the Hare Krishna movement. In the old days, they cook with ghee. And I just remember the taste of just like, wow, I got to join this movement. You know, and even shave my head just to eat pakoras. So the desires change. The process works. It does work. So that's why, and because we have association of Prabhupada, the greatest devotee. And therefore, by Prabhupada's association, sadhu-sangha, sarva-sastra-koi, labha-matra-sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi-hoi, everything's changing. And I've experienced that, you know. I no longer pray to Krishna to kill me. Anyway, I won't tell you what I pray to Krishna for. So, any other questions or comments? Ladies. Oh, you're not a lady. I give the ladies a chance. You're sitting with the ladies, but you're not one of them. So any questions, ladies? Any questions? All right. David Rata, you can ask a question.
My question is, most oftentimes when we talk about the devotees, Adam, Maya, and so forth, we always, almost always, we connect it somehow to offenses.
Yeah. Yes, Bharat Maharaj was like that. Bharat Maharaj didn't commit offenses. But he made the big mistake, because we all have these material desires, of separating himself from the other Vaishnavas. See, if we're, this is very important, to always be with the Vaishnavas. If we're always with other Vaishnavas, people will notice if we're doing something wrong, correct. This is the society of Krishna consciousness, and they'll correct us. I mean, for example, let's say if I went to the forest and was chanting Hare Krishna and I fell in love with a deer, whatever other animals you have here. What other types of animals do you have?
Dog.
If I was in Australia, I'd fall in love... Not a dog I won't fall in love with. In Australia, I'd fall in love with a kangaroo or something. Or a koala bear. They're cute. So, you know... And then, you know, if I, alone, you know, anything could happen. Like Prabhupada talked about sticks, you know, put one stick by itself and it can be broken. Many sticks together can't be broken. So let's say I adopted a koala bear in Australia and I was kissing it. Bharat Maharaj was actually kissing the deer. So it's not just like hypothetical. These things happen. You know, Maya creeps up on you like that. You think, I saved the deer. Okay. Now it's mine, and I'm its, and I love it. And he starts kissing the deer. And he's saying his Gayatri, and he's thinking of the deer while he's saying his Gayatri. So, obviously, if I was in such a situation, there was another devotee around, they would say, hey, Maharaj, don't you think you're in Maya? And I get angry. What do you mean? I'm just having a loving exchange with this koala bear. And they said, Maharaj, next life you're going to be a koala bear. And I would just say, hey, that's right, that's what Prabhupada taught us. And I get it, you know, remember my Krishna consciousness after a few minutes. So that's the advantage of association with Vaishnavas. They will always remind us of Krishna. So that'll save us, you understand? And of course you said don't commit offenses, obviously. We should see a person's good qualities. And we could talk about offenses in another class because that's a whole subject matter. How the offenses, the things that we criticize other people for are the very same problems that we have. But that's a whole other subject matter. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
When we do devotional service, how do we know the? How can we see the symptoms that unconsciously we are desiring something else, something bad for us?
Good question. There's this thing called introspection. Introspection means, spect means to see, like spectacles, glasses. Intro means inside. So we should take the time to try to understand our motivation. You know, why am I doing this? In other words, you know, I can think right now, why am I giving class? Because I, you know, I'd like everyone to look at me or you know, laugh or whatever. What is my motivation? And then if it's not the right motivation, not to feel guilty about it, but just to adjust it, just to think, well, I should be giving class to please Prabhupada and to help these people become Krishna. That should be the intention. So we should always be examining our intentions. You know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Not only what am I doing, what is the goal of what I'm doing, but why am I doing it? You know, the why question. As we teach in empathic communication, the why question. Why? You know, what is my motivation? What need am I? And, you know, if I understand my motivations are a little bit mixed, just be honest with myself about it. I mean, it's good to be honest, not thinking that, oh, I'm here giving class because I'm just a pure soul trying to enlighten the masses. You know, there's, yeah, maybe some mixture. So then you're honest with yourself about it. I think devotees really need to be more honest with themselves and with others about their particular position in Krishna consciousness. And not be putting up a facade. A facade means a false front of who they would like to be when, in fact, they're not at that particular level of Krishna consciousness. Because you put up a false front, it's like that. I don't know if any of you saw that film, The Wizard of Oz. Is that The Wizard of Oz? Dorothy, you know, the old one, where the wizard was just like behind some curtains. He wasn't really a wizard. He's just pulling like little levers and making a show. So we don't want to be like that. We just want to be honest. I mean, it's such a relief to be honest about yourself, with others and yourself. I mean, just to put up a false front, it's so much anxiety. Just be honest, you know, I'm a materialistic rascal. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, he's showing us how to think in his poem Gopinath. He says, Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your lotus feet. Because when you understand how, let's say, contaminated your desire, or our desires are, or my desires are, then you could actually pray with humility to Krishna's lotus feet. You know, Janmaishwarya, there's like that verse I just quoted from Queen Kunti. Twama kinchana gochara. That's the end of the verse. One has to be free of these things. Akinchana gochara. You could study that verse in the prayers of Queen Kunti. It'll teach the same things. So, any other questions? We should end because it's time for prasadam, which is the most important part of our lives. You see my desires. So, all glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai.